Good morning, and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, Bible's own way, and we are excited for another day of grace, another day in which the Lord gave us to rejoice in Him always. And as we do that, we're going to sing a song, number 16, is I Fly Away. We're going to sing I Fly Away, all three verses. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I fly away. I fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I fly away. When the shadows of this life has gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird of prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I fly away.
Amen. I've got to share this quick with you. When we first came to Maslin area, we started a church. We called 22,000 people within a 15-minute radius. We asked them two questions, and one of the questions was, are you actively involved in local churches this time? And if you said you were, then we say, well, God bless. We're looking for people that need a church home. And if you didn't, we started sending you something. One of the songs we sung in the congregation is I Fly Away. Well, there's people out there and that don't believe in catching away the body of Christ. So we lost the whole family by just singing that song because they didn't believe in a rapture. But you know something? God's word says this. And once again, you believe God's word over anything. Amen? That's what it really needed to do. Be turning to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. One second here. And as we was looking at last lesson, we're in lesson 32. And as we was thinking about some things about Abel bringing the sacrifices and Cain bringing the sacrifices to the Lord Jesus Christ and where it was at. It was on the when they got cast out of the garden, God put up two flaming swords and the cherubims. And that's where they brought the sacrifices, their weekly sacrifices to God. And God would accept them, providing it was on the right thing that they brought. And Genesis chapter 4, verse 4 says, well, go back to verse 3. And in process of time, it came to the pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. And to his offerings. What was the first two professions in the Bible?
It wasn't prostitution, as many people say, the oldest profession. What was it?
A farmer and a shepherd.
Okay? That was a farmer and a shepherd. And when he says Abel brings the sacrifice down the road that leads to the Lord's presence, and he sprinkled the blood there between the cherubims. That's what he was told to do. That's what God instructed. God showed Adam what to do. And you're going, you know, the things you got, you're going to have to look at some things really close right here. Go, hold your finger there and go to Psalms, get Psalms chapter 20 and get Leviticus chapter 9 and get 1 Kings 18. You got enough fingers and hands and toes and bookmarkers and page markers. We're going to Psalms chapter 21st. You got to get a hold of this right here. About the sacrifices and the offering. Psalms chapter 20. Psalms chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 9. Well, let's go to Psalms chapter 20. I'll give you time to get to Leviticus in a minute. Psalms chapter 20, verse 3. Remember all thy offerings. Now, David's talking to the Lord here. And accept thy burnt sacrifice. Selah. He says, Lord, remember the offerings and accept them. The word translate accept, if you have an Oxford Bible, is a note right there. In the Hebrew, is means turn to ashes. And that's how God accepts sacrifices. Fire came down from God Almighty and consumed that sacrifices. Leviticus chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 9. Genesis, Exodus.
Chapter 9?
Yes, sir. Chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 23. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire, and that would be a supernatural fire, out from before the Lord, and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. Now you find it over and over in the Bible. That's the way God accepts sacrifices. Be turning Kings chapter 18, 1 Kings chapter 18. God accept, and that was offered to him by what? Faith. You got to remember, no matter what dispensation you're in, God accepts things by faith, period. And the faith on the altar back there was the fire that came down and devoured it. So when they went up to that altar where they got kicked out of the garden, guess what they put on there?
Blood.
Okay? 1 Kings chapter 18. That's fine. 1 Kings chapter 18.
You got to talk loud. Walk over here.
Verse 19. We'll start with verse 19. If you're familiar with 1 Kings 19, or 18, sorry, starting verse 19. Now therefore, send and gather to me all of Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat the Jezebel's table, at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? He's asking them a question there. You got two opinions here. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. They didn't want to be put on the scene, did they? You know, today you ask people that, which God do you follow? Well, you know which God I... No, tell me which God you're following. Because there's gods out there. And the God of this world has many gods. And when you know that, and people look at you like, what are you talking about? There's only one God. Well, what's his name? Who do you follow? You better follow God the Bible, God the Creator, and his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
But look, then verse 22, then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal prophets are 450 men. Now you got 450 men out there following a God of this world, and you got how many of following God? You think he's outnumbered? You think this little group right here is outnumbered with that big religious systems out there?
Oh, yeah.
You are, but don't let that deter you. You have to know what God is doing. And he says, let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock from themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And verse 24, and call ye on the name of your gods, see, there's more than one, gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, that's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Who is that?
Jehovah,
God. And the God that answered by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. We're going to do this. We're going to show you, Elijah. We're going to show you who your God is. And once again, the name of your gods, it goes right back over there. When Satan deceived Eve, you'll be like gods. And they're still out there today, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And Elijah, verse 25, and Elijah said unto him, unto the prophets of Baal, choose one, bullock, for yourself, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass noon that Elijah mocked them. Now, a lot of people don't like to be mocked. I believe that made of him a matter. And said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he's talking or he's pursuing. Is he in a journey or pre-adventured? He sleepeth and must be awake. In other words, he's like, hey, yell ya otter. You know, where's the drum roll? Where's the band playing? Where's the party at? And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and, was it lances, till the blood gushed out upon them. Mm. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the even sacrifice, there was neither a voice nor any answer nor any that regard. Verse 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of tribes and the sons of Jacob, and unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, and great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels of water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And then they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. Here's that 3 again.
12.
You know, the Lord seemed like he does three. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? That type of thing. Three. Where am I at? Second time, third time. And the third, verse 35. And the water ran about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass in the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art the God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things as thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Once again, what issue is here?
Doubt.
The heart issue. From the heart you believe. Mm-hmm. And that heart turns away from the truth. That heart can get hardened. You know, why does God do this? Why does God do that? And you're like, this is why. You know, you got to have a heart issue. Your heart's got to be right to please God. Period. And verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifices and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that it was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let no one of them, what?
Escape.
And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kizron, and they what?
Slew them.
Set them on their way so they continued to preach prophecy. They slew them. In all the Bible, everything, if a prophet prophesied something that did not come true, it meant death. Period. Now, you don't see that going on there today, do you?
No.
You know why? Where's God at? Where's Lord Jesus Christ at? Lord Jesus Christ is in royal exile today, and he's not imputing trespasses and on sins on people today, and he's got a word of reconciliation that we have a ministry of sharing what God is doing. But there's going to come a day when he takes us out of here that he goes back dealing with that prophecy, back dealing with those prophets, and he's going to come back down with fire again. You don't want to be there. If you're saved, you're not going to be there. I don't care how you slice and dice it. You can argue with me all day long. But if you trust Christ Jesus, died for your sins and buried and rose again, and you believe that, you identify with his death, you identify with his burial, you identify with his resurrection, he saves you, seals you until the day of redemption. You can't get out of it. That should be something you should be walking on these pews back here right now. Just joking, guys. You know, but what I'm saying is, that's exciting. That's the news people need to hear out there. Not, you ain't good enough. Where's your sacrifices? How many did you get saved today? Who's coming up here to altar? We'll have an altar call in a little bit, and we'll see how many people gets tied down and sacrificed. You know what happens? You'll crawl off of it. I'm just, you know, not being ugly. That's me. I've been in that system. Many of you probably have not. I'm joking. You have been in that system, and you came out of that system. Exception with Almighty God was demonstrated in time past by fire coming down and consuming the sacrifices. That I read all them verses to get to that point. That's how God consumed that sacrifice. And that's how Abel and Cain knew that Abel was accepted with God and Cain wasn't. Because Cain just sit there and nothing happened. Naturally, nothing supernaturally at all. Lord God, I pray to you. Here, accept this sacrifice. Nothing. Lord God, I pray. Nothing. If and when you hear preachers today saying, oh God, let the fire fall. Many of you probably heard them talk about that. You know, they're talking about the Spirit coming down on the day of Pentecost, being the fire falling, and they go back to Elijah and say, let it fall. Let the fire fall. And when you're doing it, and when you are doing it is going back to Old Testament and reinstituting. When you do that, what are you reinstituting? Not only time passed, but what?
Law.
Not only law, but what are you what are we talking about here?
Sacrifices.
They're reinstituting animal sacrifices. Do you do that today?
No.
Why don't you?
Because he's not the program.
Right, exactly. You should know, hey, that's not dispensational. But you might apply something else to it. That's not dispensational. So you got to be careful of some things. You're casting the finished work of Christ right out the window when you do that. And I'm not afraid to stand, and you should not be afraid to stand, that you know a lot of churches are doing that. Some way, somehow, they're going to water Christ's death, burial, and resurrection down. And it's going to make it none effect. So when you hear that kind of terminology, it's not Bible terminology when you hear all that stuff. That is the people who takes verses out of the Word of God and twists them and perverts them to their own purpose. I've done that in the past. You may not have been done that. But when you take stuff out of times past that don't belong to you, and you try to apply it to that, don't matter what it... Now, let me back up a little bit. They are some interdispensational truths. And what did God promise in Genesis chapter 3, 15? What do we call that?
The promise of Christ coming.
The Redeemer. That's the gospel of God. The good news that God's going to send a Redeemer to redeem mankind. Not the angels. Not the angelic creation, because can they be redeemed?
No.
Man is redeemed. Mankind is redeemed. And he promised that. That's the gospel of God. Peter preached it, Paul preached it. Can't get by it. And the people will take that and twist it. What you have is Cain's religion here.
And it's
doing it your way, not God's way.
Right.
You know, I always talk, you got God's word, Satan's word, Ed word. You don't do it Edward's way. If you don't do it my way, I'll do it my way. But we'll argue which way Walt's way is. Walt's word. That type of thing. It's God's word. And once we sit down in that mind, we may not understand it, guys. You know that. A lot of it's like, oh man, I don't understand that. Well, move on. It'll come back around. That's why it's very, very important when we study the Bible. We go through Romans, Ephesians. Every time we do that, I learn something new myself. Like, why didn't I see that before? Because it's applying to what we're doing here on earth. And you're doing walking by your way, not walking the way of faith that leads you to God. Genesis chapter 4, verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And to thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. There's some questions there, right? The thing is, when he says, the fact is about sin leads to guilt, leads to depression, leads to discouragement, and leads to further sin. You know, if I sit up here and doubt myself, I'm never going to be good enough, I'm never going to be good enough, I'm never going to be worthy, I'm never going to be worthy, what kind of path is that eventually going to take me down? Yeah, I'm going to go down to my knees till I'm crawling like a, worm, whatever. Just eating dirt, eating whatever. I'm unworthy. And you look at somebody and they're saying, pick yourself up for your bootstraps and move on. That's how I've been taught. You know, you got society today that's been giving them everything in the world. And next thing you know, they're in bad shape right now. And you're looking at them saying, get your butt out and work. Pick yourself up. And they're like, you don't understand. I do understand. I've been down that same road. If you sit there and dwell on it, it'll eat at you like a canker, and you ain't going to be no good to nobody, even yourself. I don't mean to preach at you this morning, but this is true. He says, sin only lies to negative emotional responses, leads, from a guilty conscience that just leads you into further sin that only complicates matter, leading into a greater guilt and greater sin. It builds. It's not built on the good things. Hey, listen, when you understand Christ died for your sins, buried and rose again, he has forgiven you of that sin. Now, are you going to continue to sin? Yeah, God forbid. You know, you're going to sin because you're in this body. But he's forgiven you that, and that's why Paul talks about you either yield your members to righteousness or unrighteousness. Sanctification is found in Romans 6, 7, and 8. That's where you get it at. And you can figure out, Paul dealt with this stuff. How did Paul say, the things I want to do, I find myself not doing? But the things I'm doing, I don't want to do. You ever in that situation? Mm-hmm. I do. You'll find it right here. And you're going to see a downward spiral go through what is going to happen in the next several verses. So when he says, why are you wroth? Why are you angry? Mm-hmm. Why is your countenance fallen? Right. You got the word. You got what your father told you to do. And he is saying, what are you all upset and depressed about? Stand up, Cain. Be a man. Don't wimp out as, you know, we talk about. Don't do that. You know who it's up to at this point right there?
Cain.
You're getting what you want here, Cain. And if you do well, the best thing you can do is obey God.
Offer up that sacrifice like you told you.
Yes. And that means any of us.
And then leave the consequences to God.
Yeah. And so if you will obey God, you will be accepted. Even in the dispensation, you are already accepted in the beloved. You with me?
Yes.
So that's today. But he's accepted. If you are accepted, if you do what God tells you to do, you will be accepted. You will have joy in your heart. Where?
In your heart.
Where?
Down in your heart.
Where? Down in your heart. That's a joy. But look, the fire will fall, and you will know you are accepted, Cain. Disobey me. And then you will be lifted up. You move on. The burden of guilt will be gone, Cain. The burden of guilt on all of us will be gone. And forgiveness and acceptance will be God, will be yours. That's what he's telling them. Why are you so down? Why are you angry? Just do what you're supposed to do. And all you have to do is right. And you'll be accepted. But he says, if thou doest not well. What does he say? Well, in other words, what he's saying, walk in your own way, Cain. Just walk in your own way. Mm-hmm. Sin lieth at the door. If you go on and do what you want to do, and you do it your way, Cain, sin lieth at the door. That's what he's saying. He's got a choice there. Did God ever violate Cain's free will?
No.
Did he take a stick and spank his rear and said, do it or else? No, he didn't. Your sin will find you out. Be not deceived. God is not what?
Mocked.
Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's what that verse is saying. Paul tells you that. Mm-hmm. You reap what you sow. You sow bad seeds, guess what kind of crop you're going to have?
Yeah.
You sow good seeds? Hey, I sowed bad seeds. That crop came up. I thought it was a good crop. Guess what happened? It died. I started sowing good seed. That crop's no longer there. You start sowing good seeds, and you have good crops. That's what the farmer does. You ever see a farmer buy a bag of $29 grass or corn and plant it in that field and try to feed you with it? You know what? I think it's called bodacious corn. Probably the best seed you can get, okay? It's usually about four. That a 50-pound bag, it's almost $700 for that seed. So when you plant that, you know you're going to get a good crop. But what happens if you just throw it out there on the rocks?
You just wasted $700.
Yeah. You think a farmer's going to do that? Mm-mm. No. Our brother out in Illinois, Morris, he farms, him and his son farm about 2,000 acres. He said, I was reading in the Farmer Times that Ohio's going to have one of the best crops they ever had this year. And as you go through the cornfields, I don't know if you guys notice how much corn is raised in Ohio. I guess many of you went to school here, when you used to take the, go through your state history and agriculture, and corn was the number one crop. Then dairy and that type of thing. You used to break that stuff down. You think they do that in school these days? You wouldn't even know there's a cornfield out there. Till you start traveling, you're like, man, miles and acres of corn. But look, it will ruin you, Cain. It wants to master you. It wants to control you. It wants to be your boss. And thou shalt rule over him. Cain, gather up your loins like a man. Quit you like a man. Be strong. You are not to live in slavery to your sinful motions and your self-will. That's what sin does. You are responsible to serve God, Cain. That's what all this is about in Genesis. And that is what he's being told. And it is his responsibility. You know that old sin nature ruin you on it. It will take you down. But he is being counseled right here by the Lord not to allow that to happen. Now, we have parents, and you are parents. We counsel our kids not to let that happen, don't we? But sometimes it happens. And you're like, going the way of Cain here. That's what you are. You're going the way of Cain. Your sin nature, and it doesn't have to run you. What he's doing is giving Cain an answer. God always gives somebody an answer. And he's trying to make it right. Is he giving Cain hope?
Sure.
He really is. Is he telling him that he doesn't have to be rejected? There's not a one of us want to be rejected, guys. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. You don't want to be rejected. You want to be accepted, don't you? Whether it's in a fellowship, whether it's in church, whether it's gymnasium, your local unions or whatever case may be, you want it to be accepted. And kids today, that's what they want to be accepted, so they're doing anything and everything to their bodies just to be accepted. Brother out in Virginia said he don't understand why a beautiful woman wants to put tattoos on her body. You know, and many of you looking at that, and you know what I told them? They think it's jewelry. They're thinking that they're decorating their church up, you know, their bodies up, you know. Well, you're not a beautiful woman, Tim. I'm sorry. You know, neither am I. I'm just
saying.
But anyway, you know what I'm saying? So it's just like, and I understand that. I really do. But the thing is, he is telling him that he doesn't have to be rejected. You tell that child you don't have to be rejected. You be who you are. It's going to be tough. And as they grow up, they're seeing peer pressure. Y'all been through that. Some of you are still peer pressure. Peer. Yeah, thank you. Pressure today. Cain isn't a helpless victim. You can't point finger. Look at poor Cain.
No.
poor Cain, we got to do something for him. We really do. He is a guilty sinner to whom God offers hope. And do you know what Cain does? Go to verse 8. He does what everybody who is religious does. He goes on his own way. Religion. And Cain talked with his brother, with Abel, his brother. You know what they do? They're having a discussion here.
Probably with the price of that lamb he needed to buy.
You know, this is like they're discussing a matter here. Because you think about what Cain did. He goes up to the altar. Look what I've got. I'm a farmer. I'm taking the best what I've got. Lord's going to accept this. Boom. Did the Lord accept it? No. Then he sees Abel goes up, you know, spreads that, kills that lamb, spreads that blood on there. Boom. And out of the corner eye, Cain's probably watching this stuff. Like, And he sees that, and he puts his prayer life in high gear. Cain probably does right there at this time. Lord, you got to accept this. Lord, look what I'm doing for you. Lord, Lord, Lord. And he's continuing praying. I'm just speaking out loud here. You know, all this stuff. Say, Lord, you got to accept this. This is the best I've got.
I worked hard.
What's the problem here, guys?
It's his.
And he's looking over there, and he sees Abel going about his merry way, going back across that field. I've done my duty today. Lord accepted my sacrifice. And what he's trying to get to understand here, that you see Cain and Abel around you today.
Yes.
You really do. And Cain sits there and gets a matter and matter and matter, and steam is so hot that it's reflecting sun off the top of his head. I'm just joking. It's steaming coming off, mad as a hornet. And he sits there, and the Lord says, Cain, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for you. If you bring the blood, I will accept you. And go get the blood, Cain. You know what to do. You've been doing it since your daddy been showing you. Your daddy showed you what to do. Will you? Will you just go get the blood, Cain? Will you just do the sacrifice that I require? But if you don't, your rebellious heart is going to destroy you, Cain. Don't let this happen. Cain finally gets up from there. And he's probably thinking, where's that old brother of mine at? Where's that low scoundrel at? Where's that guy, that younger brother, showed me up in front of God Almighty? Where's that shepherd at? And he crosses a field, and there Abel's probably rejoicing with the Lord. You know, he's full of faith. He's doing what God told him to do. And you know something? Religious people, write this down or keep in your memory bank. Religious people can't stand to see people rejoice in the Lord and the joy of the sins forgiven and complete accomplishment, redemption that you pose right now that is yours freely and totally. They can't stand that. They can't stand to see you rejoicing in the Lord rightly divided. They can't stand to see you accepted in the blood right now. It's already a done deal. And they can do it. They can have what you have right now. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Genesis 4:8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and what?
Slew him.
The anger, the sin is at the door. He rises up and further complicates Cain's problem. He kills his brother. The first living thing to die on earth was what?
A man.
No.
Oh, an animal.
It was a sheep. Genesis 3:21. The first man to die was a what? There was two professions.
The shepherd.
The chief shepherd laid down his life for the sheep in Hebrews chapter 13. So anything that you think about, religion will destroy what you believe today. And pride is the number one fault in this. Now we can look out there and see greed. Greed's running this world rampant in it. Money, 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 money. I'm listening to all these contracts and stuff these pro players are getting. Hundreds of millions of dollars that are going to be paid out in 5 years. I'm thinking, what if the economy crashes? Are you still going to pay that to them? Now you got college people making money now. Millions of dollars. Millions. And that can ruin you. I go by them big signs, the Powerball and stuff, when I cross out of West Virginia into Ohio. I'm like, well, I didn't win it again. Didn't win it again. But somebody wins it. But you know what? The biggest lottery that you can play, don't put your life on it. And that's not trusting Christ Jesus died for your sins and being rose again. You are a winner. We don't have to go the way of Cain. We don't have to go the way of religion. We don't have to go away that sinful old nature man. Because it's going to run you anyway. I beat myself down daily. And sometimes it don't win. Sometimes this flesh wins. And I'm like, why? Why? I'm most miserable. The things that we do in this world to please other people. Are you doing it to please them or are you pleasing the Lord? Because you know I find out much better if my mind's clear and I come up the road today, nothing on the radio and just looking at that windshield, my mind was clear, rejoicing the fact I'm coming up here and see these wonderful people that's here today. And I'm just looking out that windshield. And I look down, and here comes a pack of motorcycles. I look down, and it said, Hell's Angels. I'm like, oh, I eased over this way a little bit further, gave him the whole lane. Because I don't know if you notice about motorcycles, if there are more than a couple of them, they ride that center lane, that zipper lane. You know, yeah, it's kind of terrifying. Like, you know, you're riding a button lane. We call it a zipper lane. And zipper line. And, you know, if I have to swerve or something, whatever case may be, you're a goner. But the thing is, you just rejoice in who you are in Christ Jesus. And you get in the Word of God, and you study it out, and you just like, thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for Thanksgiving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.